technology is becoming more and more used in schools and workplaces, and it's really important for parents to know exactly what is available for their students and how our students can actually use adaptive technology in a really positive way for both classroom and at home use. Episode 14 of the Breakaway Tuition Podcast. You're with Alicia Griffiths. I'm the owner of Breakaway Tuition in Mittagong, and we now have a new centre out in Wilton as well. Thank you for joining me today. I did actually start this podcast. It was going to be a blog, but it was going to be really, really long. So I decided to jump on and do it as a podcast instead of just a blog, because I find that if it's quite lengthy, then people don't actually sit down and read it all. You will be able to find, though, I will go into a few of these on the blog and have a whole stack of links and things for you to look at as well. So what is adaptive technology? So adaptive technology is software or apps, things that can make it'd be easier for our students and for ourselves in this technological age. It opens the doors for a whole range of different things that we might not have been able to access in the past. So students that have specific learning difficulties, if they struggle with reading or writing, if they struggle to get their ideas down on a page, they struggle even calculations and using calculators and things. There's a whole stack of things now available that can help our students, like I said at the beginning, either at home and in the classroom as well. So a couple of these you can use across a whole range of different subjects. So they're not subject specific, and it really is up to the person that's using the technology what they like to use. So the first one that I'll talk about is actually voice recording. I suggest to a lot of my senior students or students that struggle with writing their ideas on a page to use voice recording. If any student that has a phone or an iPad or a computer, they all have access to voice recording, and you can just do it as a voice memo anyway. But basically, I find it really encourages students who struggle to put their ideas on the page. Now, this is something that a lot of our students struggle with, and that we find a lot of people come to us with difficulties in doing. Is the actual, they have the ideas or they understand what they're trying to put down on the page, but when they're trying to translate it from their head onto the paper, that's when they seem to have a lot of difficulties in doing that. So I use voice recording for my students as a way to show them that if they can think about the idea in their head and they can speak it out loud, even if we're just transferring that then straight to the paper, exactly what the thought is to the page, that is a really good starting point. Now, I'm not sure whether a lot of students in today's society struggle with the writing on the page because they're trying to edit their ideas all the time. I find a lot of students that struggle with the writing aspect are ones that are trying to model their ideas and their sentences and their paragraphs in their head so that it's perfect the first time before they actually write it on a page. Some people also find that when they have to write it on a page, it's quite intimidating because they feel like it's going to be wrong. And that's the first hurdle that I find difficult to get students to overcome. But basically, we want students to be drafting their ideas after they've written them down. So we want to encourage them to see that if they have ideas, and they will, there's a voice somewhere in their mind that's giving them some ideas about text. If they have those ideas and we just write those ideas straight down, then we can edit them and change them and fix them and make them better from that point. But voice recording helps a lot with that because it does allow students to record exactly what they're thinking first, and then all they do is transcribe it across, and then we do the editing. Obviously, it can be used for things such as studying as well. So HSC students in particular might use voice recording and record a whole stack of little snippets on different topics, which they can then listen to at a later date as well. But I find voice recording really helps with getting students who are reluctant to write to put their ideas on the page. Now, obviously, if they are doing HSC and the teachers are talking a lot in class, with their teacher's permission, of course, they could use the recording to then go back and have a listen again to the discussions that were happening in class to, you know, help their class notes and things from that too. And lots of university students use voice recording of lectures so that they can go back and re-listen to that information too. So that's the first one that I find really helpful and really helpful for students. The next one is the voice-to-text idea. Now, voice-to-text, in theory, should be easy to use. Voice recognition on our phones with all of the new at-home versions seems to be the way of the future, but I still find that voice recording itself and students using like voice-to-text isn't always right. It's missing a whole stack of stuff. I prefer typing myself, but voice to text really helps students that do struggle with the typing or the writing aspect as well. My one thing would be that if a student is using voice to text, even if they're using it in a Google Docs, they really need to go back and edit their work again. So my usage of voice to text hasn't been extensive because the times that I've used it, I find that the voice or my voice words don't get picked up correctly, comes out with different words, different spelling, misses punctuation and paragraphing as well. So that means that the student would then have to go back and edit all of those things. So if you do have a student using voice-to-text or a child using voice-to-text, please make sure that you are encouraging them to go back and reread their information again so that they can actually fix any errors that they find in their work rather than handing in a whole set of documents or a whole stack of writing that evidently it doesn't make sense. So I do have high hopes for voice to text in the future, but I do also think that it's still very valuable for our students to be typing themselves and also handwriting on a page too. So speech selection is similar in a sense. So speech selection is getting students to highlight something on a page, so it could be a web document, could be an audio book or a book, sorry, and the computer reads that out to them. Now that is really, really valuable. That technology is going to go a long way in classrooms, and it's going to go a long way to removing the barriers that some students find when it comes to reading information and reading a lot of information as well. There are also, with the speech selection, there is a range of different speech pens that have been available. They're called a C-pen. The original version of the C-pen is a dictionary pen. So students, as they're reading a text, if they're not sure of a word, can use this pen to highlight the word, and that word or the pen will then give them a definition, so an audio definition of that word. They have now moved those C pens to also be a reader pen. So I'm assuming it's the same thing. You highlight a selection of text with the pen and it'll read it out loud for you, as well as an exam reader as well. And so I find that that idea of the C pen is then going to remove a whole stack of these barriers for students that are using technology for exams, for those students that struggle to read, which will be very important as well. It does look like, though, perhaps because they are using the C-Pen now as an exam reader, that it will get rid of physical people doing the exam reading in an exam situation. So I guess if a student has a reader, then the reader uses intonation in their voice, which may give away some of the answers. So perhaps by using this new C reader pen, that it does get rid of that in terms of examination, so that it is still testing students' knowledge and students' ability. So it'll be interesting to see how the C pens are rolled out and used. I know they are quite expensive. We have looked at getting one in to play around with here at Breakaway, but they are upwards of $200 a pen from the last time I looked at them. So it would be good to have a play around with them, and it is a technology that can help quite a number of kids. So it'd be good to see a lot of schools investing in this technology. So on top of voice recording and voice to text and the C pen, there are still a whole other range of adaptive technologies that we can use with computers to help our students. So some of them include like phonetic spelling software, where kids are not sure on how to spell things the correct way, but they can spell it phonetically. There's actually, I think it's in app stores, it's called Ghotit, ghotit.com. So obviously that is being spelled phonetically as well, but basically it is using the child's spelling to then figure out what exactly they are trying to spell. So a student that does struggle with spelling, if they are struggling all the way through a piece of writing, even on the computer, it is hard for the computer to distinguish what word they're trying to spell. And I guess with this technology, it will help identify what words the students are wanting to spell, so that when they select and change the spelling on any writing that they're doing, they are selecting the appropriate word. Because we know that often when students pick a word that they have been trying to spell, it's completely different and not that word in at all. So another thing that I found really interesting was the adaptation of talking calculators. So students that have dyscalculia, for example, where they swap around the different numbers when they're writing them down, the talking calculators are used to read out the answer instead of getting the student to transcribe it from the screen. So that will help students to ensure that they're writing down the correct number instead of mixing those numbers up and around. So that type of technology, again, the calculators themselves are quite expensive to get hold of. They don't all have the same scientific features that the calculators do that most schools use for mathematics, but it is something that is really helpful in helping students to get the right response on a page, because that's often what we find with students that are struggling with dyscalculia, for example. They're mixing their numbers up, which then obviously if they've got the right working out, but their numbers are the wrong way, means that they're essentially marked as wrong. Audiobooks are a big one. Audiobooks have really exploded in the last couple of years, and they are really fantastic resources for kids that struggle with reading or just dislike reading as well. Obviously, they're still reading the text, they can hear the text, they can pick up the features of the text well when they're reading it. They obviously would miss out on any language features if they are picking those out of a text for English, for example, but it does allow students to access these books in more ways than just having to struggle with the reading aspect of it. We also have paper-based computer pens too. So this is something that, again, I've only seen recently. Apple's newest iPads have the ability for pens to be used, or like the Apple Pen itself to be used. And there are a few other devices. I mean, my phone, a Samsung, has a pen with it that I can write. I can't write clearly, but that sort of being able to write your ideas down and then that being transcribed onto the computer then can use your handwriting to
select the correct words for what you're trying to say. So again, accessing these types of technologies really help kids whose handwriting might be quite messy, or who really want some nice clear notes written out for them as well. And there's also variable speed recorders too. So basically it would allow students to record exactly what's being said, and then they can slow down what is being said so that they can concentrate and understand what the person is trying to say. So all of these technologies, they're all under the adaptive technological enhancements. There's also a massive stack of new apps available on app stores and Google Play as well, that are allowing students to access whole different ways to help them navigate the current climate that we're experiencing in terms of schooling. So there's a few other ones that students might look at. So screen share for students that might struggle to see the whiteboards or the electronic whiteboards in the classroom. There's actually technology available that allows teachers to share their screen with those students so that the students can see it on their own devices. So that's a really fantastic app or technology that's available, so that the students are able to see it clearly and not struggle to see it on that board. And electronic worksheets as well are now starting to be used a bit more too, where students don't have to write it on a page, but they are able to type it in and interact with the computer to complete their work. Obviously, with these changes in technology, as great as all of these ideas open us up to, and as much as it begins to remove barriers for those that struggle with the traditional sense of learning and education, there are things that we want to be careful of and be aware of in the appropriate use of the technology, as well as teaching our kids when it is appropriate to use and when it isn't. Some of the skills that we still want to develop in our kids, like handwriting skills and the ability to think and write responses on a page, if we continue to use all of these adaptive technologies, it's a skill that then students will struggle with a lot. It's the same as audiobooks. If students don't have reading difficulties, but they're using the audiobook instead of reading, for example, then they're going to lose that skill. So it's sort of, we know that with human skills, as we learn and adapt to new ways that we can work with those skills, we lose the skills that we don't use. So I think with adaptive technology, we want to make sure that we're using it at times that it's appropriate. Obviously, like I've said, that the adaptive technology opens all students and all individuals up to being able to do things that they might not have been able to access in the past, but we still do want to ensure that we are developing those other skills that the adaptive technologies are now starting to replace, so that if any of these adaptive technologies were removed from students and from access in the classroom, that they are still able to draw upon skills that they have used in the past and still able to operate in the environments that may not be adapting these different technologies at this period of time. So, excuse me, there's obviously a whole other range of adaptive technologies that I haven't gone through today. If I was to go through them all, I would be here for a very long time. I've just picked a couple that I think are fantastic and are beginning to be rolled out in schools. You will be able to find attached to this, I'll have a brief blog as well, and that will have some links for you if you want to go and have a look at a couple of these technologies as well, to